As of Tova, we're in Korea. And we'll do whatever we can to try to see a brief chazar of these very significant matters. Okay? Let us begin by opening up to an important discussion. Since we started in Ayin Gimel officially, as well as the malachas begin, so there is a remarkable question over here which you have to address, which tells us very important yesodos. That's over here. Tosnaf Ayin Gimel and Beis talks about Korea Amanas Litvor and Mochik Amanas Lichto. And already on Amar Aleph they had a discussion of the Amanas component of these malachas. So the Rabbi Kivega says over here, if I give him a vase, that Tosis, here we understand Tosis to say, as long as it's not a makalkel, you're potter. Why? You have to have dafka almanaz litpor. Accept no substitutes. You have to have korea almanaz litpor. Not enough almanaz attacking. Has to be almanaz litpor. Frank the Kivega against the Mefurashi Gemara. Kuf hei amid base. Mefurashi Gemara. What does the Gemara say over there? A Korea al Meso or Korea Bechamoso to show how tough you are, the kids in the family should be scared of you, you are chayv. Clearly, it's the pashtus, so it's not considered to be Amanas Litvo. So, how do you answer this kash? That's our first point today. How do you answer this kash? So, the Avnei Nezer gives the most balabatasha answer. He says, no, it is Amanas Litvo. Yes, after the person rips the garment, he's going to sew it up. It's interesting that the Bialocha was on to this teretz, and he said, you can't give that teretz. Why can't you give the teretz? Because there were certain losses in the family. A person loses a parent, which is so severe that one may not sew up the garment completely. And as a result, you cannot say it's Korea Avanas Litvor, because it's simply prohibited to do that tfira. That's what the Bialocha says. Now, the answer to that question could be, and this is given by the stipler, al koponim sholel. You can do what's called basting stitches. You can't do a full stitching. That's also considered to be amanas lidbar. We discuss this in the context of the levush. A malach will get to tomorrow, but of Kosei. He talks about opening and closing these library books. He talks about mochek amanas lichtov, when you will close the book. Even though it's not your purpose, the purpose is to read the book, not to close it. So we see that Almanas, according to this understanding of the Nezer and the Bialocha and the Levush, Almanas is a very weak phrase. You intend to do the other Malacha, the positive Malacha. Not that that's your purpose, but the fact that you intend to do it even in a modified form of Sholel, which is less than the original Tefira, of course, it still qualifies to be considered Almanas. That's the simplest, most Balabatasha answer of all. Good. Of course, there are those who disagree. Say, Almanas means, no, the Tachlis is Almanas. Not that you're going to just do it. It has to mean that you really want to do it that way. That's the Tachlis of the negative Malach. The Tachlis. So, Rabbi Kivega seems to assume that's going to be the Tachlis, so the Karen Or is that way. So, Machlokas is Goliath Poskim. So, now what do you do with this Kasha then? What do you do? So the stipler has his own teretz. Another brilliant answer that he has. He says like this, to make a long story very short. He says as follows. These malachas, all of whom have amanas attached to them, are fundamentally negative malachas. Malachas of stira. Sosa, literally, right? Amanas livnos. And it's korea, and we'll see soon matir. And then it's mechabe. This is the twin malachas. It's a negative one. It's a negative one. What's the nature of these negative ones? You're taking a chefza, and you're, if you will, destroying it in order to create it, to make it even, presumably even better. Or at least it's going to probably even better. What will happen, Rabbi Osai? What will happen if I can do this malach in a way when I'm not destroying the chefza? Point of the malacha is not to destroy the chefza, then you wouldn't necessarily need amanas attacking. If the nature of the malacha is destroying the chefza, the only time you could be chayav if it's amanas to be attacking the chefza. But if I could find a case where I am doing a malacha which has nothing to do with the chefza. That's with an apology to the briskers. Nothing to do with the chefza. It's the action itself is the whole malacha. It's nothing more or less than that. That's all it is, the action. Then you would not necessarily require amanas litbar, for example. Let's go over here. What's the litmus test to know whether it's a chefza-oriented malacha or nothing to do with the chefza? So the answer, since this type is very fundamental. It all depends. Let's say you could achieve this chefza without doing this malacha. What does that mean? All other malachas, for example, take harisha, start the first malacha. If someone presents you with a sada harusha, with a plowed field, meiridik. Save myself the whole hassle of plowing the field. Great! So in all those kind of situations, whatever is destructive has to be amanas to do the constructive malach. However, when it comes to our particular situations of Korea Bachamasa Bameso, someone present you, someone never lost a parent. Here, I present you with a ripped shirt. What do you say about that, Rabbi Hussein? Accomplish zero. You have to rip the shirt. Giving me a ripped shirt is meaningless to me. It's meaningless to me. This indicates I want to show our kids how tough I am. What am I going to do? I'll walk in there with a ripped shirt. A sissy. That is a sissy. You got to rip it in front of them, show how strong you are, and then they'll get scared of you. So it's the action itself that's required. If the action itself is required, not trying to destroy a chefza, then this action is considered an action like eating, like hanoah, he says, nothing to do with tikkun hachefza at all, and therefore does not require amanas litbar. So suggests the stipler a very interesting answer. Oh. Now, there is a Rashi. Rashi says in Daf Memches, in the Sugya Poseach Beis HaTzavar, that there's no chiv of Korea. Right? No chiv of Korea. Why? So comes along the Bir Alach with his chiddush. So we have, this is already a third teretz. Rabbi Eliezer was the first, most balabadish and practical. Stipe was a tremendous lumdus. And the Bir Alach is his own varant. His varant is, to the contrary, that the only time you would be chayav in these malachas is only if you're a makapa. Only if you're a soser. Only. Only. So, this is a whole new mahalach. A whole new mahalach. Only if you are soser. If you're soser, then you could be chayiv. But if what you're doing is positive, then by definition, you cannot be culpable for the malacha of these four quote-unquote negatives, because they're only if it's negative. Only. Only. Oh. It's interesting. There seems to be a contradiction in this very matter between the Shulchan Aruch and the Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Kara and Yosef Kara, in this matter. Why? Because in Siman Shin Yud Zayin in Beis Yosef, he seems to say this var, you need dafka amanas litvar, and that's why when it comes to poseh beis atzavar, you're opening a hole in the neck, the hole for the neck. Yichai b'shemaka b'pata j'na b'shem korea. Why not? Because it's not amanas litvar. That's what he writes in Siman Beis Yosef in Siman Shin Yud Zayin. However, here in later on, the Shin Mem, he seems to back out. And Shin Mem, seems to take a different tack. That's the question which bothers the poskim. How do you reconcile the steer between Rav Yosef Kara and Siman Shin Yud Zayin? Rav Yosef Kara in Siman Shin Mem. That's the question. How do you resolve this contradiction? Some say he backed out. He backed out. So there were those who say an amazing word. We saw a state of chidushim with biurim. He says, you misunderstood the Beis Yosef. When the Beis Yosef said something in Siman Shin Yud Zayin, we interpreted it to mean that dafka must be al manas litpor. which seems to contradict what he says in Siman Shin Mem, never meant that. What he meant was, believe it or not, that this Vard of the Bi'er Halacha, the Vard that we just said, the Bi'er Halacha says that it has to be Dafka a negative. Dafka negative. That's what he meant in Shin Yud Zayin as well. He just read the words a little bit wrong. It's a creative read, but it makes some sense. So we're suggesting now that Rav Yosef Karo is the one who agrees with the Bi'er Halacha's Chiddush, namely, that the only time you can be Chayav is if it's negative. If it itself is positive, you can't be guilty of the four negative malachas. They have to dafka be negative. But having said this, we can have this kind of a new read of Yosef Karo. So let's chazer again. Kiveger assumes reading Tosfos has to be dafka amanas litbar. He has to get to the Furush Gemara on daf kufayim base. So the Avnei Nezer answers Balabata. She could plan to sew it up at least a little bit. Sholel, the answer to be halachas kasha. This type of says those are unique cases, nothing to do with the Chevza, and that's why it doesn't have to be Almanas Lidpar, otherwise it always has to be Almanas Lidpar. That says his Lundus. And the Bi'er Halacha has his whole new Mahalach. The Bi'er Halacha says that the Pshat is not that you have to have Almanas Lidpar. No, Almanas Takan is also good. But Dafka, negative Almanas to do a positive. But negative, without doing any, again, it doesn't have to be dafka amanas litpor. It has to be a negative to create some kind of a positive. And what is he coming to exclude? If it itself is positive. If it itself is positive, then you cannot be guilty for the quote-unquote negative malachs. That's his malach. So we have three malachim, and we have to move on. Okay? And as we're going to see, we're going to discuss various topics. But Kitzur, spent a lot of time on these first time around. I'm just giving the very, very basic outlines of some of these things. Fine. Let us open to the Rosh, if you don't mind. I'd like to show a little bit, as much as we can, in the text. Just, you know, a lot of things we have to be Torah Shavah Peh today. It's a little bit in the text proper. The Rosh and Perek Zayin and Siman Vov. Perek Zayin, Siman Vov. This is follows. Mashin is topic reads, the end of page Nun Aleph in our print. Mashin is topic, the end of Siman Vov. In Bina Mata Amanas, the Chori Lo, it's the first person I give it out. Yeroeh, the Lomachai of Eladumia de Havim and Mishkan, Matir Keshisha Kayama, Amanas Liksha Keshisha Kayama, Kenteode Chaloza. Don't have time to go into the Talmudic precedents in the Mishkan. Bottom line is the Rosh seems to say, Dafka Siv, Matir Amanas Liksha Keshisha Kayama. Otherwise, you wouldn't be chayav. This is the opinion of the Holy Rosh. Kesek Teferes Shmuel Zayin. Aval Rambam and Smag Lo Chilku. No, it's Lashon the Mishnah. Right. He says this is the Becholin Mechayev. You don't need Dafka Amanas Likshar. So we'll call it a Machlokas, the Rosh and the Rambam. As for the Teferes Shmuel. So the fundamental dispute of both sides. Matir, does it require Amanas Likshar? Or does it not require Almanas Liksha? And what are they actually arguing about? What does this fight depend upon? I'm not exactly sure. It's hard to there'd be a lot of Talmudic precedents. Again, the Chilozon, they were this, they were that, they were untied this way, untied that way, the Komo, Shalobim Komo. But the Aruch HaShulchan is a fundamental point which I want to bring to your attention. What is kosher? Let's go back. We started talking about Tofer, and now we're talking about kosher. So how do you distinguish between these various malachas? They're obviously not exactly the same. So the Aruch HaShulchan says what I think what most people hold, although there are other opinions as well, is that kosher means you connect two things. To connect two things. Tofer means you're making two things into one. That's a lom de shavar. Kosher, you're connecting two things which remain separate. And tofer, you make them into one. So much so, there's so much one, that the only way to separate them is by ripping. When it comes to, and then, you know, when you rip it, you just rip it. You're not going to bring it back the way it was. But matir can bring the two things back that have been connected together to their original state. To their original state. Oh. The Rambam says if you madbit niyaros, it's told as tofer. Why? Because you can't bring them back to their original state. You got to rip it. You got to rip it. Now we understand. You need Korea Amanas Litfor. Why? Because every korea ruins the tefillah. It ruins the tefillah. It's a makalkal. It's a negative thing. As a negative thing, it has to have a positive purpose. However, matir, no, not at all. Depends on the definition of kosher. If the definition of kosher is connecting two separate things to make them connected, so matir has a positive effect of disconnecting them. On both sides, the same as it's considered positive to connect two things, it's considered positive to disconnect it when it has to be disconnected. So it's a whole different vart. A whole different vart. Oh, this could be relevant, Rabbi Osai, to the question, are you chayev or not if you tie a knot at the end of a string? At the end of a string. Right, so the Hagos Mordechai says, you're chayev. He didn't really connect two things. This conveys an impression that the nature of the malach of kosher is to make a kesher. To make a kesher. Not to connect two things. You just, at the end of a one string, you make a knot. Like goes Mordechai said, you're chayav and kosher. The Rambam, as per the Mekevah submission, says you'd be potter in such a case. Because according to the Rambam, what is kosher? Kosher means that you are connecting two things. And if you didn't connect two things, you're not going to be chayav. Oh, you're not going to be chayav. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, all these yisodos can come together. It's chazer again. If your matzah shlom and az likshar, it depends on the definition of kosher. If kosher is to make a knot, so the matzah is destructive, you're destroying a knot. So therefore, az yom and az likshar. If kosher means not to connect two things, if kosher means to make a knot, so to matter is to destroy the knot, it's negative, that's Yom HaNas Likshar. If kosher means to connect two things, then matter means to separate these two things. So if matter means to separate these two things, it's not necessarily, it's not a negative thing at all. Things can be used connectedly, and things can be used disconnectedly. They're just two different ways to use things. So therefore, it has a different mahalach, a different shot as to what the nature of the malacha is. This is a fundamental question as to how we define kosher. The Rambam says if you take chavolin and you make him into a string, b'chayv mishum kosher, and there's no knot. There is no knot. You make any knot. Just connect the two things. The Rambam has this whole different mahalach. So again, how you define the fundamental question of kosher, is it making a knot, or is it connecting two things, which seems to be, could be a machlokas between the Mordechai and the Rambam, could be also the machlokas to Rosh and the Rambam, as to whether what's the halacha with respect to matir, shelo amanas liksha. According to the Rosh, you would be potter, because the nature of the Easter is kosher, making a knot, you undo the knot, it has to be dafka in order to create another knot, same as told from Koryam and Aspen. According to the Rambam, the definition of, as the Aruch HaShulchan said, of kosher is simply connecting two things. So matir is disconnecting, which is its own positive activity, does not require any amanas. Right? And therefore, on the contrary, if you put things together without a knot, it might also be chayav, because as opposed to chavolin, you're braiding it into one big string. That's the next malacha. Okay? After all, going through all these things, which we've spoken about, these are yesodis. First, the yesodis of Tofer and Korea, then the yesodis of Kosher and Matir. Let's get some nitty gritty. Halacha lemaisa. This is a lot of, it's also lemaisa. The Gemara is clear in the beginning of the 15th parak. That was the first Gemara we did, the whole sugya that we did, about, appropriately called the Eluk Sharon, the name of the parak. So the Gemara has that there can be different levels. The Gemara is over here, the case with your chayev, and case that your potter, and case that your mutter. That's clear in the Sugas HaGemara, the Ferish HaGemara. Not kuf yud aleph mit beis, kuf yud beis. There are three different levels. Chayev, potter, and mutter. Mafurish HaGemara, tanyidach, three different things. The only problem is, what are the three things? Here, we have, beautifully, three shitas. Three things, three shitas. Let's go through the shitas one by one. Okay? The first shita is Rashi. Rashi shita is, there's only one consideration. The consideration is the duration of the knot. The Rashi, the very first Rashi, the Perek, that Kufi Alf and Beis, Akesh Shal Kayama, She'eno Matiro Liolam. Akesh Shal Kayama to be chayev is one which is there indefinitely. There's no plans to undo it. Fine. That's the most chayevic case. Fine. What's the case which is mutter? Right. Take a look in the last narrow line of Rashi, Kufi Alf and Beis. The cave of the kol yom asharele lo dami midi lekesha kayama umutu lechatchila. Every day you take it apart. It has no connection, no similarity to an eternal and definite kesha, and therefore it's umutu lechatchila. So Rashi is really giving away the answer by saying that in between, it lasts more than a day, some say more than a week, but the Pasha Rashi is more than a day, and less than forever, that's an isa b'derabonon. And Rashi even tells you why, implicitly. It's dami the kesh shel kayam. If it's for take it out in one day, lo dami midi. Take it out in more than a day, so it's, we'll call it dami tzas. It has some connection to kesh shel kayam on a level of derabbanan, and therefore, in fact, it's prohibited mid derabbanan. Fine. This is the opinion of this is Shita's Rashi. Okay, Rashi. The Rif and the Rama have their own mahalach. A whole new mahalach they have based upon the Gemara, is that there are really two criteria. One is duration. The other one is a new concept which they introduced, not found before in Shas. That's called Keshen Shel Uman, an artisan's knot. A Keshen Shel Uman, which is of indefinite duration, is chayef. If it's not a Keshen Shel Uman, and it's for it's short term, then it's mutter. If it is has one of the two criteria, namely, it's either a kesha le'olam, which is not shaluma, or a kesha shaluman, which is not le'olam, then it's potter aval osur. So the Rambam has, the Rif have two criteria, duration and artisanship. If both check out positive, you are chayev. If both are negative, it's mutter. Either or, you would be potter aval osur. It's interesting, we made a dig at Lashon Rambam. When the Rambam quotes all this, he makes the following distinction. He says as follows. When it comes to a kesher, which is permanent, which is not shaluman, he writes, it's potter. If it's a kesher, which is eno shel kayama, but it is a mais uman, he writes, it's osur. And I suggested, I think I found it somewhere later in print as well, that potter means you're starting from chayim. And the fact that it's not a kesher shel uman knocks it down to potter. The contrary, if you have something which is usur, you're starting with nothing, because it's not a kesher shel kayama. But if it is a kesher shel uman, then it is usur. And we shall see soon the nature of the isur. Either it's an isur of kosher, midirabonon, even though it's not shel kayama, it's just the fact that it's shel uman makes it a chiv of kosher b'drabana. Or no, we'll see later, maybe it's only what we call in our language an uvda d'chol. We'll see that as we go a little bit further. Okay. Now. Fine. Again, when the Rush argues on the Rif, let's really take a look inside. We want a little bit grounded. Opening Rush in the 15th parak, just to see a little bit. Don't have the time to go through the text as we should, but you will have it the first time around. Okay? So the Rush here in Simen, in Perak Tetzvah, Simen Aleph, Rav Alphus with a small Aleph, Pirish, the Maisa Shal Uman, Uvalon Ahira, the Bekesh Shal Kayama, and Chiluk by Maisa Uman, the Maisa Hedyot. He clearly rejects the opinion of the Rif. So what's the real pshat? Rashi says, what's asked by the Rabbanan? Pirush Rashi in Makpid in Lahatkan al Shokan Yichol in Lachaltzan Ulenav Elo Hataras Hakesha. We call them Kesha Chayam Elo Havi. The Bishas Hatit Tzrichim Lahatirim Lahatkan al Shok Shelo Yishar B'Tit. To tighten it, loosen the tightness with the seasons. Get an impression from Rashi and the way the Rosh quotes it, based on Rashi, that Shel Chayam is forever, indefinitely. And there's just less than indefinite. If you take it out in 6 months from now, that's the in-between category, which is the only usher mid the Rabbanim. Only usher mid the Rabbanim. So it would appear. There's a question of someone to be matter, I told you, up until the week. The question that becomes what's called the middle the Rabbanim. The whole machlokes with the Taz. I don't want to go into the details right now. But the Rami Rutenberg, who was the Russia's Rebbe, and the Mordechai's Rebbe for that matter, said, quote, Kol kesha shein matirin biyome potter aval osu. It depends upon the, actually, one day, some say means 24 hours, some have a different opinion. We'll stick with the 24 hours, which seems to be the more predominant view of others argue. Then is the Iran. The Iran has its own unique shita. It's quoted in the Shulta Givorim. Those who want to look up the Shulta Givorim, in the old print, it's Mem Aleph Hamid Beis. In the new print, I believe it's on page Kuf Tes Vov. Rabbi Lezer admits, and he says it's the end of the narrow lines in our print on page Kuf Tes Vov. He says, what's it in? Lo Ostu al Kesha Shuvare Shal Kayama. That's Chayav Chatas. Yod Osir mid the Rabbanon, this is the fairly wide lines. Kesher Sheno Vare Shlo Yiel Kayama. Dika the Svuke Be Dilme Yaniach HaKesher Uli Olam. Ki Kein Derach HaKoshim Kesher Bosa Yit Mokom. Then, it's Osir mid the Rabbanon, Rabbosai. But Kesher Shavade Eina Manich Mos Kach Li Olam. Matin Osir Yisov Shavu HaShuayim. Uvare Shori Rabbosai. So the Urayim Shita, which is found over here in the Shulta Givorim, is a third opinion. It's how should I say? You had to put it in the Rambam's camp or in the Rashi's camp. It's closer to Rashi's camp. He doesn't have any criterion of Maisa Uma. It's purely a question of time. And on the level of what's Chayiv and what's Mutter, what's Chayiv, he agrees with Rashi, it has to be forever, indefinite. And that's enough to make you Chayiv. But in terms of what's potter, what's mutter, here's a different criterion. Instead of saying up to one day is mutter, beyond that or beyond the week is aser, he says no, it doesn't matter, no difference if it's less than forever. If it's who cares how long it is, one day, 1,000 days. What really matters is there a possibility to be left there forever? If that possibility exists, it's also mitzvah rabbanan. And if it does not exist, because people you make this not never leave it there forever, then it'll be mutter lechatchila, even if it's going to be for 2 weeks. It'll be something fair to shul to gibor. This is the sheet that we call the Iraim. This is the Iraim sheet there, Rabbi Osai. I'd love to go into greater detail about the Iraim Shita, but we really can't go into it at greater depth right now. Okay? Rabbi Osai, we have all these three sheets. Any questions so far? Yes?
Okay, sure.
We'll get to that. Mitzvah Shem. We'll get to that. So now we come to what might be considered perhaps the most important yesod, which is going to be run through all of today's shiur, and I'll even go into tomorrow a little bit. It goes as follows. We always discuss various pturim, heterim. Are they general or are they local? Is it to cloud all 39 categories of work, or just for this particular malach? So over here, with respect to kosher, we'll use the expression kosher al manas lahatir. Everything we spoke about until now is really that. The knot could last forever if you leave it, but you're going to take it out. That's called kosher al manas lahatir. It's a local din, and the reason why it's a local din, how did I begin to say, I said before, what's the nature of kosher, at least according to the Rambam? It's chibur. The definition of the malach of kosher is connecting things. Oh, so connections have to be less than connections. Any other malacha, you create something, so it lasts. Maybe if it's going to fall apart by itself, it's not lasting. But the fact that you're going to take it apart later on is an irrelevancy. Unless the nature of the malacha is to make connections. So if the nature of the malacha is to make connections, then this connection is you plan to take it out, to disconnect it in short order, so that's considered to be either permissible or at the very least putter, as the case may be. This is the Yesod, which is found in the, amongst other sources, the Avnei Nezer. It's a local din. It's not considered to be a chibur if it's not indefinite. It's, again, a major Yesod, which the Avnei Nezer has. And I don't have time to go into the whole discussion about tefillin. If you borrow someone's tefillin, then you tie the knot, you don't do it, maybe it's no good. But I'm just mentioning that just to remind you of some of the context of the Avnei Nezer. So having said this, Rabbi Osai, having said this, the details are critical. The Taz says it all depends on the person's particular intention. What is my intention? If I plan to undo it, it'll be mutter, or at least potter. If I don't, then it's going to be us. Bialacha doesn't like it at all. The big Yisod, the Bialacha, the beginning of Shin Yud Zayin, the very famous Bialacha, where he says, no, it doesn't depend on you as a private individual what you want. You, you can say, but l'dayto etzel kol adam. Rather, the Bialacha says, quote, those who want to look it up, it's Shin Yud Zayin Aleph, the end of the narrow lines. The beginning shalanu, shederech kol olam asoso bikvius, lo azlinan basa dato, it would arise saucer, and the Beis Meir says it, if the Prima Gardens Kasha make tzitzit on Shabbos, etc. Okay? This is the Yisod Godol, which the Bialocha has against the Taz. Doesn't depend upon me, depends upon the general way of doing this. Now we come, once we're talking about undoing things as being a source of exemption, the question then becomes, what happens if I'm going to throw it into the garbage? Would I be chayev because I'm not going to undo it? Would I be potter? We don't consider this a permanent knot. A permanent knot is I'm going to use it permanently. I'm going to connect it now and then throw it into the garbage. That won't count. So the Maharil Diskin famously wanted to be matrit based upon a sugya mesechta yuma by tying the knot on a sorel azazel. So presumably it's a derabon, not it's a deraisa, even though it's not going to be untied, it's going to be left on the sorel forever. There's a Rashi in the Sechta Sukkah, which possibly says the other way around. Rashi talks about the knot which is being made on a lulav as being shel kayama, even though after a week, presumably, you no longer use the lulav. So if you put it into the Tashmishe Mitzvah, is this rocking? We saw the Chasam Sofer says no, that they used to keep the lulavim, Morishin lulavim lebnein. In the old days, they would bequeath their lulavs to their children. They would keep it somehow a little bit fresh for generations. That's why it's considered to be a permanent knot. Otherwise, it would not be considered permanent. So, machlokas gedolei haposkim, is this considered to be shel kayama or not? If you don't plan to undo it, you plan to just to throw the whole thing into the garbage. Again, we don't have time to go into all the riots back and forth. we should mention briefly that according to the Rif and the Rambam, there were three opinions as to how we define. Remember, they had two criteria. What were the two criteria? Maisa Uman, on the one hand, that we know what we sort of, we'll see, so we have, whatever that means. And then there's permanence. So if you hold like Rashi, so there are three levels of permanence. Less than a day is mutter, more than a day is asur, and indefinitely is chayev. But according to the Rif and the Rambam, how do they define these things? So, the Mishnah Brewer says, like Rashi. Definition of Shel Kayama is like Rashi. So, according to the Rif and the Rambam, as for Mishnah Brewer, only going to be Chayiv if it's a Maisa Uman, which is going to be indefinitely. Indefinitely. The Taz goes in the other extreme. It says, no. The Rif and the Rambam say that once it's more than one day, it's already considered to be Shel Kayama. The opposite. And the Altul Lubavitcher Rebbe, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, he says, no, the Rif and the Rambam also subscribe to the tripartite division that we had between according to Rashi. And they also agree to that. They just throw in a new category that it has to be considered to be the Kesha Shalkayama in order to be Chayim. It's only forever and Maisa Umen. And when's a Mutter? A Kesha Hedyot? When? Amnastahatir Biyomo. Everything else is also B'Drabbana. That's what the Rebbe says, Pshat, according to the opinion of the Rif and the Rambam in his understanding. Our final point here is how you define Kesher Shel Uman. It's not so simple. The Ramah quotes again from the Shulchan, again the Shulchan Gibbon gets into the act. The Shulchan Gibbon writes that nowadays you have to be so careful because we're afraid of the Shita known as Kesher Shel Uman. Because of this particular opinion, he writes as follows. He says that we do not connect anything which is behudak, which is tight, because maybe if it's considered to be tight, it may be considered to be in the category of kesher shel kayama, which is usur, even if you plan to take it out within 24 hours. This is quoted the halacha by the Ramah. The Mechaber quotes the Rambam, the Rosh, the Ramah quotes Rashi, and then he says as follows, one day, 1 week, and then at the end of the Sefalaf he says, no double knots. We're not pekiyim what's called Kesher Shaluma, and therefore we should not tie any double knots. Let's welcome Tsar, Lo Gozru. Okay? That's what he says. Then he has the famous Uraim we said earlier about tying a knot at the end of a string, which we saw to Machlokas before. It's all in the Ramah in Siman Shin Yud Zayin Sif Aleph. So look it up, it's right there. Now, Shari Tshuva says, in our place, of course in the Birka Yosef, Poshet Aminig Likshor Shnei Ksharim B'chagur Aso, Hashem B'mastav, Shena Shukayama, Fushal Hedyo. And no one is concerned with this Chumrah, so it would appear. That's the question, how you read the Shari Tshuva. Are they going against the Ramah? Ramah says, we don't tie double knots. And he says, no, they do tie double knots. Well, no, you tie double knots only in the case that he gives of chaguraso, because eino shel kayama, presumably because it's loose, it's not so tight. It's a question how exactly you read the very words of the Shari Tshuva. Does he mean to argue in the Ramah, or does he mean to say no? It's not tight enough. It's not tight enough. It's a double knot, which is loose, is in fact permissible. So it would appear. And therefore there are poskim who have certain leniencies, Rebbe Osai, certain leniencies which come in very handy. Shemir Shabbos Bilchasik, also from Shlomo Zalman, that the women, when they used to have these tichels with tie on the back, he says, it's not tight. And therefore, it's not tight, even though it's a double knot. She's going to take it out presumably within 24 hours, we can be somewhat woolly. So now, Rabbi Osai, we come to a fascinating question. Is there an issue of mitzvah la'alocha l'maisa? Does mitzvah play a role in tying knots? And in order to see, you have to turn to the last daf of the Masechta. Make a symbolic siyum, Rabbi Osai. The last daf. Kuf Nun Zayin. Sounds like if you perish in the rule of mitzvah, so would appear. Kuf Nun Zayin, the Mishnah says, the koshu is hamekida begemi, lady vesh begigis poseach tefach and lach. The Rebbe Lamadu shah pokekim and moded in the koshrin b'shabes. Sounds like it's a special heter in the Mishnah, end of the Mishnah, Kuf Nun Zayin Amad Aleph. So the Gemara says, with respect to Medina, the last line of the Masechta, Medina the mitzvah is mutter. La mitzvah miyama. You need mitzvah. Okay. What about kshira? What about kshira? Is it also an inyan of mitzvah? You look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, the koshrin. Kesh Hashena Shal Kayama, Afilu Lecha Tchila. The Rashi in the Mishnah. Okay, why? Presumably, because it is a mitzvah. It's an exception to the rule. So it would appear, at least. So it would appear. Now, according to the Rambam, we're talking about a Kesher Shel Uman, otherwise it's mutter even without the concept of mitzvah. But according to Rashi, it's not clear that it's a heter of mitzvah. If you take a look in Tosis Medida, Medida the mitzvah lab, La mitzvah mi'amrit, on Kufna Zanar base, Pipkika lo bina kshel mitzvah. Only by Medida require mitzvah. So there are three things. What does it say? Pokin, modin, v'koshin, v'shabbos. So pokin does not require mitzvah, only modin. So maybe kosher also has nothing to do with mitzvah. So it would appear. And if not, in fact, why doesn't Medida require a mitzvah? Why is it mutter even without a mitzvah? So Tosas says, towards the bottom, he says, the hostel havi isa kolkach, el mishav da havi ku'uv da dechol, av a pekak, the mishav tosef is all, zomit the binyan, lek al mishav mishav mitzvah, Tosas the yisod. Mitzvah only works for uv da dechol, doesn't work for a malacha derabon. So I wanted to suggest that according to the Rambam, we suggested a few minutes ago, it's osim mishum uv da dechol. Not shashay yom, that's what he started. Uv da dechol. Why? He did a Maisa Uman, a Kesh Shal Kayama. Excuse me, a Kesh Shal Uman. But since it's not Shal Kayama, it's not a Malacha, it's not a Gzera, it's only a Uvdu Dechol. It's according to the Rama, Malacha La Maisa, there is a Heter Shal Mitzvah in the Sugad of Kuf Nun Zayin. But according to Shitas Rashi, you don't find a Heter of Mitzvah. They never said the word Mitzvah, only by Bodadin, right? There's no heter of mitzvah. Whatever it is, I mean, it's a kosher, even on the level of the Rabbanon, there'd be no heter of mitzvah. According to the Rambam, it's mutter. You know why? According to the Rambam, as we said from the beginning, I did from before, if it's a kesher shel kayama, which is natural, it's potter, meaning it's a malach of kosher, and it's potter. When it comes to kesher she'ena shel kayama, ma'is uman, he said osir, didn't say potter. Osir implies it's not even a malach at all, it says it's uvda dechol. But uvda dechol is a heter of shel mitzvah. So these all Rambams go together. Now, Lachal Amaisa, I told you when I came to my shul, that's nearly 40 years ago, one of the first things I did was I changed the Glila process. They used to have a tie with a gartle, and I said, I don't know how to do that. You tie with a gartle, you tie it mincha time, it's going to be left there for at least 2 days, and if it happens to be, I don't know, Rosh Chodesh, say, if it could be there for a month, how did I do that? So I replaced it with a clasp. But there are some poskim who say, I do not to be so machmir. It's a heter of mitzvah. It was a mitzvah of doing galila. I can give this a different way to do it. Da-da-da-da. So I went to the east side. I bought a clasp. I did it a different way. That's what we're doing since then. So now we have Velcro. It can be even more advanced. The poskim of Velcro is not considered to be kosher or tofer. That we assume halacha l'maisa. Fine. So this is giving a little historical background. Some disagree. They say there's no heter of mitzvah at all, or the heter of mitzvah is no alternative. You should find an alternative, find a different sefer Torah, a different way, a different class. I just give you an example of where mitzvah may come in halacha l'maisa. So now I want to tell you the second major yisod for today, which is something which is again carry through to other malachas as well. And this yisod is found in one of our favorite svarim that we've been using throughout, which is the Megillah Sefer. I have it on my desk. I was afraid to bring it in. It would take me too much time out of my love for the Sefer. I'd start reading it. We have to end. Don't have enough time to read inside today. If you can look it up, please feel free to do so. So the Megillah Sefer, Simon Chof Aleph, has a long piece on these Nekudas. And it has the following yisod. The yisod is that there is something which goes beyond just having in mind to undo the malacha. Having in mind to undo a malacha may not necessarily carry the day. But doing something which, in order for it to be used in its appropriate fashion, must constantly be done and undone, that is a heter which applies to all malachas. And he gives the example, which we'll get to the next malacha tomorrow, Mishnah Boneh, what's called Kisui Kalim. You may remember the Mogad Avram, that if you have a kli, and the only way to use it is to undo it and then fill it up, and then close it up to store it, and then undo it to use it, and then fill it up, and then close it. So if it's Asui Liftoach Velizgar, this is a general exemption. We don't call this malacha, we call this Ishtamshus. Ishtamshus. This applies, according to the Megillah Sefer, as a rule to all malachas. All malachas. What he calls Asui Lehischalfus. It's called Shimush. That's his phraseology. This is only true, again, the source is a Mogan Avram. Beles asuya lekach, to open and close. Derech tashmisha v'ischalfus v'psicha l'skira and skira l'psicha. That's a special heter. That's a special heter. For this reason, he says, you can open and close a baby bottle. Just opening it up, no, you have no alternative. He wants to suggest, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit, but since I like to jump ahead so we can just see how everything is relates. We're going to discuss later by Bona the issue of the Chazanish's Chumrah of electric circuit being a violation of Bona. The Megillah Sefer says, well, that may be true, but not by a refrigerator. If you cause a refrigerator motor to go on, that's not going to be considered Bona, even according to Chazanish. Why not? Because the motor has to go off. If it won't go off, either the food will freeze or the motor will break. It has to go off. It's meant to go on and off all the time. That's a general din. Kol ha-malachas, that's considered to be shimush, ischalfus. It's not considered to be in the category of a malacha. He calls it Lego. You have to take it apart to put it together. The whole part of Lego was to keep playing with it. It came to the question of the electric lights in the bedroom. He wasn't so forthcoming. I thought it's the same thing. The light's meant to go on when you want to use it and off when you go to sleep. He says, well, he didn't say you're not really using it. He's turning it off. A nuance. The Kitza Nimritz, Rabbi Osai, he understands the Gemara here on our Perek to be saying exactly this yourself. The Gemara on Af Kuf Yud Beis Amun Aleph. Kuf Yud Beis Amun Aleph. The Gemara talks of Mafta Chaluka, fifth line. Pshita. What's Pshita? What's Pshita? That's exactly the chiddush of our Mishnayis. If it's only temporary, you're not chayim. Well, what kind of pshita? That's exactly the chiddush, otherwise you wouldn't have known it. He says, no. If you mafta chaluka, which means the ties of the knot of the clothing that you wear, you have to wear clothing forever. You have to take it on and off. So the pshita in our Mishnah, that I'm saying the chiddush neira, that our sugya, the reason for the dispensation, is not the local din of the Avnei Nezer. Lechas Chibur, it's kosher manas lahatir. No. That's not what I'm talking about over here. The heter here is also lehischalfus, made to be done and undone, to be tied and untied. That applies, that goes beyond kosher matter. It applies to boneh as well. So too, nodos yayin. What's nodos yayin? It's like a baby bottle. So nodos yayin is like a baby bottle. So of course, once again, it's going to be pshita, the last few lines, and I've kufi base and mid base. It's like a baby bottle. It's meant to be done and undone. That's push up shot. Now, I wanted to suggest, if his comparison is correct, throw my own 2 cents. When you take off the garment, you're not using it. You just take it off because you want to wear something else, or wear nothing, as the case may be. And still, the heter of Osilus Salvus applies. I wanted to say, for that reason, turning off the lights in a bedroom is also should the heter should apply. But you have to use it in both modes. You don't use the garment when you take it off. That's when you have to wash it. That's what he means. But I'm suggesting that would be a bit of an indication to have some leniency there as well. Oh, says the Megillah Sefer. So where is this chiddush of the Avnei Nezer anyway? if our sugya, the nature of the heter is what's called osi l'schalflus, where is the din? Where, pray tell, is the din? If you make a kesher, which is not going to be, it's not necessary to undo it in order to use it. But, despite that fact, it's going to be mutter. Why? It's a kesher of anas lahati. You know where it's found? Not enough kuf yud al bezel gimel. You know where it's found? Kuf nun zayin, Rabbo Sain. The Beis Meir asked, what's the chiddush of the Mishnah? Kuf nun zayin. What's the chiddush? According to the Rabbi, we understand. Mitzvah. But according to Rashi, there's no heter of mitzvah. What's the chiddush? The answer is, here in our sugya, the 15th perek, it says, also this chalfus. It's made to be done and undone in order to be able to use it. Kuf nun zayin, there's no need to undo it in order to use it. So there we would have said, it should really have been a serious problem of violation. It comes along the Mishnah Kuf nun zayin to teach us, no, a new yesod. What's the new yesod? The new yesod is, If it's kosher amanas lahatir, it would be considered to be permissible. This is a yisod gadol. Oh. It's interesting. If you look in the Yerushalmi, Klal Gadol, those are kosher amatir, nase kiposeach ukenoa. That whole yisod. This nakuda applies to boner, applies to other malachas, kosev. We saw a discussion about it. This is going to be a major yisod. Oh. Now, Bosai, we have to discuss two questions. One you asked about a loose, which is a little bit loose, and some halacha lemaisa stuff with our shoes and our ties. Let's discuss that right now. Okay? Let's discuss those topics right now because they're very important topics. The first is the yishtikl Torah. I called the last time the same thing, yishtikl Torah. From the Sefer Ktzos HaShulchan, a remarkable Shtikl Torah, which sheds great light on many things, and we shall see that it's we can't go into all of its beauty right now, but just to mention it, how it's going to lead to a very important conclusion. The Ktzos HaShulchan quotes the Bir Halacha right at the beginning of Siman Shin Yud Zayin, the first one, HaKosher. And the Mishnah Berurah of Katan Aleph as well says that Kesher Shel Kayama of Uman is Chayav, even if it's not tight, and you can pull it out with one hand. Why? We have this concept of pulling out with one hand. Where is that found, Rabbi Osai? One hand, the very first Mishnah, Kufin Alfin Beis, or Meir Omer, Ko Kesher Shel Yochal Atir Biachas Miyadav, Ein Chayav and Olav. Ain chayav and olav. Says the Bialocha, that's ridiculous. That's Rabbi Meir speaking. We pass like the Tanakhah, like the Rabbanon. Why should we follow Rabbi Meir? Rabbi Pirush Mishnah says we don't follow Rabbi Meir. We follow Rabbanon. If you look at the Gemara Kufi Daf, you have the impression this kind of kesher is not tight. Afal Pikein, it's considered to be, it must be considered to be a Maisa Uman according to the Rambam. Otherwise, it wouldn't be chayev. The Taz says against it. The Taz says in Aleph that a ma'is umim is a kesher chazak ma'od. So the Taz didn't know Shas Bavli. How can it be? Comes along the Ktos HaShulchan with a chiddush nif, a beautiful chiddush pshat in the Gemara. It's so beautiful. Every time I say it over, I get more excited. The simple read, Rabbi Osi, the Mishnah, is Rabbi Meir is saying kol kesher shul shiyoch al tibach miyadav. It's a tremendous leniency. Rabbanan never heard of this. And he has a tremendous, tremendous leniency. If you can pull it with one hand, you're not good punter. And the Bialocha, we don't pass like this leniency. Because after all, we pass like Rabbanan against Rabbi Meir. That's not true. Not true. Rabbanan hold as follows. Rabbanan have a kula. What's their kula? You need a kesher shaluma. Well, look what it says. Kesher agam molin, the kesher asaponim. Not just telling you. No, the Rambam and the Rif learn, dafka someone who's a sailor or as a camel driver, they know how to make specialized knots of umanim. Those you chayev on. Anything less than that, you are potter on. Rav Meir says, no. Kol kesher. even if it's not Shalomon. I repeat, Kol Kesher, even if it's not Shalomon, you would still, right? You would be chayev, save for the fact Sheyachal Atir B'Yachas Miyoda. So for Kert, Rav Meir has a tremendous chumrah when it comes to a Kesher She'eino Shel Uman, Tanakama says Yepotet, Nakamol and Saponin, Rav Meir says Yechayev. You say it's a crazy way to read the Mishnah. It says that Kehel Gitzos HaShulchan, give a look at Tosis. Kuf Yud Gimel Omer Alf, the top Tosis. Very similar phrase. Klal Omer Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah top. Kol Kesher She'eino Shel Kayama Ein Chayavin Olav. Oh, Meridik, a tremendous kula, right? A tremendous kula. No, says Tarsus. Okay. Kol Kesher She'eino Shel Kayama Ein Chayavin Olav. Ho Shel Kayama Chayavin Olav Afilu Aniva. Against the Rabbanan, the same read. So don't. It's a funny read, but don't blame me. Says Kol Kesher Shulchan. Tosfos read the Mishnah Kufin Gimel that way, right? Kufin Gimel on that. Amri in the first Mishnah of the Perek the same way. According to the Rambam, and he goes through many sugyos that Gemara I can't go into right now. It's a beautiful pshat. Rabbanan said. So Uma means it has to be tight. It has to be tight. And if you can, in fact, pull it out with one hand, Ein Chayav and Olav, both according to the Rabbi Meir and according to the Tanakam. The dispute is the other way around. What if it's a Kesher She'eino Shalomon and it's tight? Kesher She'eino Shalomon. What's in that kind of a case? So Tanakama says you would be Potter. And Rabbi Meir says you'd be Chayav unless you can pull it out with one hand. But that cooler works even according to the Shitas HaRabbanan. I gave you a very brief rendition of a much more profound and complex pshat in the sugya. I read you the Tosfos, which is the precedent for the new way to read the Mishnah. That's what the Tosfos Shulchan says. According to him, against, like the Taz, against the Bi'alocha, if you can pull it out with one hand, by definition, it's not considered to be chayef. And we pass away Alocha Lamaisa, even though it seems like it's only Rabbanan. No. Rabbanan, even if it sounds like Rabbi Meir, rather, Rabbanan agree as well. Having said this, it's going to talk about the shoes. But the two issues about shoes. The main issue is, which affects us, is the chum of the Rabbah, not to tie a double knot. Very nice, we can't tie a double knot. If you tie a double knot, Rabosa, you can't pull it out with one hand. What if you tie the following? We had experiments about this, a few experiments, if you recall. You tie, how should we say it? A knot. Then you tie a bow, the way you tie your shoes. Then on top of that bow, you take the two parts of the bow, and you tie them together for extra security. Many people do it for their children. The children shouldn't trip, but I see some people in our shiur do the same thing. They're older children, right? So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa asks it. He says if it's considered like a double knot, we're mach with a double knot, you need to take it out within 24 hours. However, by experimentation, right? We did it a few times. You take one hand, you can pull it out. It's the reality. It's a fact. If you can pull it out, we can be megal in the shayla. It doesn't have the chumra of kesher, agave kesher, of a double knot, because there's a bow in the middle. So that's why we say, halacha lemaisa, we have a right to be megal. Let's not forget, whenever we talk about this shayla, the whole chumra of the Ramah is a chumra, agave chumra. To my kesher, agave kesher. Chumra, agave chumra. In other words, we're Ashkenazim. What are we worried about the Sephardi psak all of a sudden for? It's tainus, right? What do we worry about the Riff and the Ram and the Macha? We follow the Ramah. Okay, the answer Ramah himself was Kosher Shurik, but that's, we don't understand exactly why. That's number one. Number two, who says a simple double knot is in fact the Kesher Shaluma? It's a Chumra from the Shulta Giborim. The whole thing is a Chumra Biyam in the first place. So therefore, you add one more Svara. Namely, you put a bow in the middle, you pull out with one hand. Not that enough to make it Mutah Alocha Lamaisa. That's as far as the shoes. What about the ties? We spend a lot of time on the ties. A lot of time on the ties. May you or may you not tie or untie a tie like this on Shabbos. The bottom line, as I recall, is as follows. So you tell me if I'm making a mistake. If you tie a Windsor knot, such as I have, and those who remember how we do it, we did it, we showed it. You start with the two fronts in front of you, and you tie it the way you tie it, this is not a not at all, according to the most possible. It's not a not at all, it's nothing. Why? Because part of it comes out with one hand, part of it, excuse me, first it slides through, and then as you pull it, it comes out, we experimented, it worked. Right? First you slide it through, that's garnished. Then you just pull, it comes out, there's nothing there, it's garnished. So in theory, it should be mutter to leave it there forever. Mika within. All right, it's not going to carry away, leave it there forever, but it's not going to be, it's not shel kayama, not indefinite. And to add to that, the Talmidim Shalita in this shiur, we asked a questionnaire right after Rosh Hashanah, was a 3-day yontif, and people somewhere, the same tithe, different tithes, changed tithes, bottom line is nobody in this room was willing to admit, except for me, that you kept the tie in its tight position overnight. Nobody. Nobody. So in Eretz Yisrael, they say, even if I'll decide to take it out, it won't help, because everybody leaves it in overnight. Sometimes it's the other way around. At least in the yeshiva guys, at least in this yeshiva, I don't know, the yeshivas might be different. But here, at least in this community, everyone's taking it out on every single thing. You never don't leave it overnight. Who wins the tie? Who wins the knot? Who wins the this? Who wins the that? I'm not such a bafunak. But the Talmidim are, so but ladati, it's ladatchem. So it should be permissible on that basis as well. So I think if you tie it out like this, again, this is what it looks like, apparently it's only tied this way, and it should be permissible. There is another kind of knot, which you start off, that was the picture we saw in that book, you start off one side facing forward, and one side facing backwards, and you tie it a little bit of a different way, then you can't pull it out with one hand. Impossible. Again, by experimentation, I'm going to review, do the experiment again, that there's room to be machmir. There's room to be machmir insofar as it is considered to be a kesher. And according to the Ramah, a kesher at the end, kesher, like Barosh Achut, is dina k'shnei k'sharet. So maybe it might even have the status of kesher shel tuma. And therefore, even if you take it out every single night, maybe a chumrah with the chatchila with the rabbanon, you shouldn't use it because of the of what we saw here in the Ramah. It's kesher shaluma, and even if it's not shaluma klal, might be prohibited. So those who want to be machmer and those not have a basis. If you want to be machmer, you have to do is, I don't know what you do. You have to tie it before Shabbos and leave it in for the whole Shabbos. But if you want a different tie, it's to tie two ties before Shabbos. Have one for Friday night, one for a third for Shalosh Shudis, three ties before Shabbos. And then take them all out after Shabbos. That's the way to be machmir. If you had those, but I'll teach you how to make a tie, the real way. Windsor, right? That's from the royal family. So if you do it this way, the way I'm doing it, but we came out that it's mutter even forever. Kavachomer, if you take it out on a regular basis, and Kavachomer for you, take it out on a nightly basis, should be mutter for sure. Okay, Rabosai, that takes care of the neckties. Good. Now. We are, as I thought, running out of time quickly, and I want to try to finish as much as we can these two malachas today. So let's turn our attention to the Mordechai Simen Tov Nun Zayin. Tov Nun Zayin, Rabosai. Open up if you don't mind. The Mordechai Tov Nun Zayin. I apologize, of course, it's a very brief chazara. You understand where everything we said here, we spent much, much more time on the first time around. So I'm sure you have notes or memories. Tov Nun Zayin. In our print, we find it on page. Mem. Page Mem. Matirin Beis Hatzava. I hope you all have it inside. It's in column 2, the page mem in our print. It's the Siman Tov Nun Zayin, the very beginning of Tov Nun Zayin. Riva Pirish Beis Hatzava, Shemiskashe Beshask Visasan Matirin. Avalim Hoya Tofu Pi Beis Hatzava, Okamosha Medapkin Haratz Onin, Zug Shel Minol, Oslo Natan Zemizet. Shlomotzino chiluk ben tfira shel kayama, the tfira shena shel kayama, the raf yabiyad. Not sure, says the Rivo. Rabbeinu Yoel, who was the Rav Yoel's father, Rabbi Yoel, Halevi, Rav Yoel, matir hafilu betfira, Hov alav l'skayim ovid. Chekos de Rav Yah, v'shemash bam. U'mufarej zechibur ha'poseach v'chulei. Ayin betocha amud. This is called Hagos Mordechai. You have to look in the Mordechai proper. That's the sugya of Zechibur, which is the sugya of Memches. So we're going to see this sugya again briefly. We can't read the entire sugya with all the ins and outs of it, but a little bit we have to see. So let us try to analyze this a little bit. The Riva says, Rav Osai, if it is sewn together or stuck together, glued together, right? The Dapkin Eratzonim. You ready? The Rambam says, a Madbik Neyaros is Chai Mishim Tofer. So therefore, if it's Tofer or Medubok, it's really the same thing, according to the Rambam. And in both cases, the Riva says, you may not undo it. You may not undo it. This machlokes is likely the machlokes Rashi and Tosis on Daf Memches. The Shulchan Aruch, those who have a Shulchan Aruch, we haven't really opened it yet to see the Eon today. Now's the time. Simon Shin Yud Zayin Sif Gimel. Sif Gimel. Okay? So the Machaber says, Matirin, what's a Gemara, Daf Memches? Matirin Beis Hatzava Mikesha Shekshar Okovex, Shein Kesha Kayama. Don't open it from fresh. Why? Mitake Manu. Again, why is it not Korea? So the Bialokha said, because it's constructive, not destructive. That was his Yisod. I was going to say, because I'm going to ask our opening discussion. Fine. Says the Ramah, I feel it for Niftah, Rosh Hachazar, Umo, and Viksharo, Tzvaro, Be'ech, Piyachat, Kedev, Shulim, Osim, is Osir. He quotes the Hagos Mordechai, Osir, Natek, Olachto, Zuksha, Manolam, Atfurim, Yachat, Derech, Shulim, Osim, Afogav, Fish, and Kayama. Then Chilik Mitzvira Ben Shatayam Ben Gama. Who said so? Just read it. Hagos Mordechai Ben Matoni. V'yesh Matirin Mitzvira She'ena Shal Kayama Ben Lahati B'fnei Amoritz. In this room, everyone's a Talmud Chacham and no Amoritz. We can be matter here. It's 2 days in Ramah, and obviously by being saying he shouldn't do it in front of an Amoritz, what he's really mean to say is that for Talmid Chachamim, it is permissible. It's permissible. Permissible. Okay? And the Mechaber seems to be Megal as well. Pasha Pshat seems to be Megal as well. Okay? So it would appear. What's the assault over here? You're tired. Back to our Hischalfa's story. It's made to be tied and untied. You're untied to wear it, you're tired to launder it and transport it. Etc. It was back and forth. Okay? This is the way we paskin aloch olamaisa. It should be mutter. That seems to be the psak. A psak aloch olamaisa. Seems to be the psak alocha. Oh. Let's take a look a little bit in the Mishnah Berurah. A couple of important nekudas for both sides. Let's take a look at Sivkotin Chof Aleph first. Sivkotin Chof Aleph. Very, very important. Sivkotin Chof Aleph. Critical. And again, Shakayama, she also the sky and rock at Chicacheno of Alabias the Beso. Yeshmach Mir and Bedover. Elam can also the hat there be also Yom Shalak Visa. This is a critical dispute. The second opinion, which is the opinion of the Taz, applies the same 24 hour criterion that we've been speaking about all day. That in order to be Eno Shakayama Klal, has to be undone within 24 hours. But the first opinion, which is a Levush, which is the Posh of Pshat, the way we paskin, it's only a Yesh Machmir, but he doesn't seem to paskin away. No! It could be more than a day. But the person who is tying it, the launder in the laundromat, is only tying it for the last how long? Until the Balabais comes to the laundromat and picks up his shirt. I may take him a couple of days to come. You ever go to the dry cleaner? Not responsible for leaving for 30 days. Weissach, he's 29 days, he's still responsible. The guy forgets, bagel's out of town. So you come back and you pick it up. Not within 24 hours, but 24 days maybe. That's also considered to be mutter. This seems to be the psak halacha of the Mishnah Berurah over here in Sivkotan Chof Aleph. It's very, very, very important. This can apply to so many things. There's so many things that we buy products, and the products are medubuk together. Let's say, food product or other products, and it's no way it's going to be undone within 24 hours, but it's going to be undone, and when the person buys it, he's going to undo it. So according to the Taz, it would be prohibited to undo it on Shabbos. According to the Levush, it would be permissible to undo it on Shabbos. So it would appear. So fundamentally, we seem to be lenient over here in Siman Shin Yud Zayin Siv Gimel. Again, there is some stringency, but Mikra Adin to be paskin the double kula. Number one, that even though it was tougher together or bedubuk together, there's still a kula if it was only done Ena Shel Kayama. And number two, Ena Shel Kayama in this particular case extends beyond the 24-hour period. If it's made in a particular place on the understanding to be undone as soon as the purchaser acquires it, or the gets back his things from the laundromat, as the case may be, so the Ikar then we pass in its mutter here as well. So it appears over here in Siman Shin Yud Zayin. However, it's not over yet. There seems to be other seemingly conflicting sources. So again, there were many. We've shown, I don't have to read you the Marach or Zeruah, and there's other sources. I'm making the following suggestion. The time when we say that this is permissible is it's considered to be Shimush, not considered to be a Malacha, after it was already sown the first time. Okay? But the very first time, it's not like opening and closing a door. It's like hinging a door for the very first time in history, onto the house. That would be a prohibition. That is Pashup Shat in the Sugya Daf Memches. So it comes out, Rabbi Osai, that the nature of the leniency over here is Ischalfus, made to be done and undone, done and undone, done and undone. It's not going to work the first time it's done. As the Sugya Daf Memches seems to say that way. That if it's the very first time, it would be prohibited. However, later times, it's going to be permissible on the grounds that it's doing and undoing, made for the Ishtamshus. There is an issue, however, a conflicting source in Siman Shin Mem. The second time today seems to be a conflict between Shin Mem and Shin Yud Zayin. One we try to resolve earlier, and I'm going to try to resolve this one as well. And take a look at Siman Shin Mem Siv Zayin. Osam Shemahatkin Abagodim Sviv Zero Osayim Aydea Chut Shemosman also Umischazek. Also the Mosco Elim Ken Yunakovim Rechovim Tzas Umisukonim Betfira Beigel. Unless it's very loose, you may not do it. And the question becomes, isn't this contradicting what he said in Siman Shin Yud Zayin? In Shin Yud Zayin, he seemed to be express a leniency. And here, Rabbi Osai, he seems to say a stricter opinion. How do you reconcile this apparent contradiction? The Ramah, it says nothing here. Ramah is make up a farish and Shin Yud Zayin Siv Gimel. So Shlomo Zalman says, according to Shmuel Shabbos, no. The Ramah has to say it each time. He was make up in Shin Yud Zayin. He understands he's make up in Shin Mem as well. That's his bar. Rabbi Yashiv Zal has a different interpretation of the Tehillah L'David. That the Ramon Shin Yud Zayin Gimel is Megil to undo it. Because to undo it is more calm. And here, where the Mechaber is being also the Motcho, to do it, to connect it, not to disconnect it, here the Ramon is quiet, because he is Machmer in this shadow. Okay, these are two answers. The best answer, I thought, goes back to the whole episode of Shimush. In the case in Shin Yud Zayin Siv Gimel, there's absolutely no alternative. Rabbi Osai, you can't walk around in your shoes when they're tied together. Even you guys can't do that. You have no choice but to tie and untie, tie and untie, tie and untie. That's the ultimate ischalfus, which is absolutely mandatory. There, the Mechaber is making, the Rambam is making, we're making that challenge. Over here in Shin Mem Siv Zayin, it's not necessary to loosen it each time. No. No. If you want, you have a loose garment, you will pull a string to make the sleeve tighter. You're going to have a tight sleeve till Mashiach comes. You don't have to undo it each time. So I don't have to undo it each time. That's already a shiloh. That's already a shiloh. The in Darkei Moshe, the Rambam does say, does make the comparison between this case and Shin Mem Siv Zayin to the case of the shoes. That he does say, because here also you plan to undo it, but he doesn't say anything in his Agos Shemanara, because he can understand that one could be machmer in this case of Shin Mem Siv Zayin, even though you're maker in the case of Shin Yud Zayin Siv Gimel, because in Shin Yud Zayin Siv Gimel there's no alternative but to undo it each time. Whereas Shin Mem Siv Zayin, there is an alternative. It's not as mutter, and therefore one could argue that it's we should be machmer. That's another third teretz, which is a fundamental teretz, as opposed to the other teretz that we saw from the Gedolei Yisrael. One says he relied on what he said earlier. One says the distinction between doing and undoing. My favorite teretz, I think it comes from the Sefer Halichos Shabbos, I believe, who made this distinction that in Shin Yud Zayin you have no alternative. Also, there's Chalfus, open and closing Kalim. We keep talking about that Yisod. But over here, in Shin Mem there is an alternative. You tighten it, you leave it tight. Therefore, you don't have to loosen it each time. Therefore, the Ramah is silent and the Mechaber is Machmir in Shin Mem. With me so far? Now I'm down to the last 10 minutes. I like to end on time. I always try very hard. Don't always succeed, but usually. I want to talk to you a little bit about purchasing items which have an adhesive in the factory and you want to use it on Shabbos. The thing we spent the most time on, it may not be related to you right now, which is disposable diapers. Okay, everybody in due time, Mitzvah Shem, B'Shoa Tova. But it may be relevant to you, just to make it more real for you in your real life, to disposable band-aids. Which you get a cut, you want a band-aid. They made it, I don't want to make an advert, Johnson & Johnson. Johnson & Johnson made that pack of bandages, and you bought it a year ago, and it was made a year before that. Who knows how long it's been there that way? Now you have a cut, you want to undo it, and put it on your finger. Mutter or us. And for your relatives, I'm sure everyone, someone's relative has a baby somewhere, and they'll come, they'll say, can you babysit? Oh, I'd love to babysit, sure. And you know, you ever changed a diaper before? No. I'll show you how to do it. Okay, so you try to change a diaper, good. Now you're babysitting Friday night. Whoa. All of a sudden, you, the uncle, or the cousin, or whatever you happen to, or the neighbor, you know, you do a chesed, and now you have to have the same child. Well, you'll have for your own children, Mitzvah Shem. So what's the halacha when it comes to this thing? This is gallons upon gallons of ink have been spilled about what we do about these things. And I'll give you a bekitz and nimitz because we can't go into every detail again at this given the hour. But some of the highlights are the things we spoke about. Okay? I've also said some of the highlights. So, there are a couple of issues. The first issue is simply separating. Because the way it works, there's a piece of tape, and you pull it off the diaper, or a tab, it's like a tab, you pull it off, and you adhere it after you put the diaper on top of the baby's body. Even pulling it off is already a problem, because that was adhered a long time ago. The fiyani is daiti, there are at least probably three reasons to be made. The first reason is, we just saw, the lavush, it doesn't matter how long it was adhered, it was put there in order for the consumer to take it and to use it. Full disclosure. For those who claim, even according to the Levush, it should be awesome. Because the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah, when he quoted the Levush in Siman Shin Yud Zayin, Sif Katan Chaf Aleph was, no. It's true, it wasn't meant to be taken that day, but in us the sky, Rak Achi Kachenah Balabais Lebeso. But also, I bought these disposable diapers, and certainly the bandage, I bought them a year ago. I'm not using it, it's just here for emergencies. And even the disposable diapers, I'm not going to use them all the day I bought them. I could have bought them on a sale 3 weeks ago, and now these are on Shabbos a month later. It could be, who knows how long. For some, say the Levush would not apply, but on a simple level, the Levush is cooler, would apply. That's heter number one. Heter number two, Rabbosai. It's called Derech Shimusho. You can't use it unless you unless you disconnect it and then connect it. That's called Derech Shimusho, his Chalfa story. Some say, Rabbi Osai, that that little adhesive is considered bottle to the diaper itself, based upon the sugi Masechta Beitza, the sugi of Chosoma Shebekelim, as Noisa Korea, it's part of the Kli. And I think that one of the best Heterim is it wasn't ever meant to be so glue tight. We said at the very opening of the Shia today, according to Aruch HaShulchan, what's the pshat in Tofer, as opposed to Kosher? You're making it so tight, so glued together, that it becomes one. And the only way to make it two again is to rip it. Like this shirt was woven, this jacket was woven to become one unit. You want to rip it. It's only way to set it up. Here, are you kidding? Here they spent a lot of money to figure out how to connect it in such a weak fashion. It should be very easy to just pull off. Very easy. That's not considered to be in the category of really davuk. It's more like a button. It's one of the Karela said. It's like a button. It's just meant to just be there to be able to take it apart very easily and put it back together again. That's not called Tfira at all. Now, if that's right, that's far alone, you can even use the post-its. People have the post-its. I don't think you should use the post-its. No one has no need to use it. Number two, the other svaras don't apply necessarily. But this svar would apply. Very easy, right? Am I correct? This comes on and on. That's what he says. Is an Easter of Makir Bepatish, which we're talking about this briefly? No. Why? Because it was done already. It was done. It was completely done. It's just the way that you're using it now. You're not fixing it now. You're just using it now. Nothing. Oh. Fine. The way we said before, what's the machlokas to Rivon Rav Elio? We never really fully explain what they're fighting about. The one explanation is that it's not so nikar that you plan to undo it. Then Rav Elio is makel anyway, and the Rivon is machlokas. But if it's nikar, then not. So having said that, when it comes to the disposable diaper, it's very nikar that's meant to be undone. So perhaps everyone would agree that it is permissible. Even the Rival might agree, as we said earlier. These are very many svaras to be makel. As far as taking it apart, what about putting it back together again? Put it on the chart. That's more complex. But I'm told that today there's been a tremendous change for the better. I'm told that today, when you put the tape on the diaper, the new technology has it in such a way that even though it holds pretty tight, so that it won't come loose and the baby will be protected for as long as the diaper is on his body, but it's made in a way now they can pull it right off. Is that correct? Those who diapered babies can confirm that. And that's tremendous, because in the old days they said it's awesome because when you pull it off, you don't disconnect it at the point that you connected it, because it's too hard to do, you just disconnect it somewhere else. That could be a serious question, because that then the original Devik was there forever. And even though it throws into the garbage after a few hours, but we said before, in the Sugi Masechta Sukkah with the Rashi, that might be considered Shel Kayama. But since today it's pulled out, so it's mamash a case of, it should be less of a problem, I should say, to put the diaper on the baby than to take the adhesive off. When you take it off, it's been there for months, who knows how long. When you put it on, you're putting it on now at 12 o'clock. You'll take it out at 3 o'clock. That's only for a few hours, and you take it out at exactly the same spot. Just be careful of one thing, though, if that's the case. When you throw it away, don't adhere it again. Don't tape it on again, because that's going to be forever. In the landfill in Staten Island, we keep saying. That's where it's going to be until Mashiach comes. So don't, okay. So you just throw it out, put it in the garbage without taping it, if you will, shut before you do so. It may adhere anyway a little bit. No. So it adheres a little bit. That doesn't mean you wanted to do that. It's you didn't have it in mind. It's not a psychic ratio. There's much more room to be lenient in in that kind of a situation. This is a very, very important nekuda. I'm told they have Velcro nowadays. Is it true? Velcro? Yeah? They have to show that. That's what I was told. That, obviously, it's much more cow than if you do that. That's 100%, because it's not considered to be connected in the first place. We assume that Velcro is hetagama. We also assume that zippers are hetagama. Okay, as opposed to others who once had a shita, that maybe zippers was a problem of tofer. It's a problem in, I want to say. But we assume that it's considered to be permissible in these kinds of situations.
What about like seasonally, for the lining of a jacket?
Even that, so it's a halacha lemaisa. That's why you have your raincoat. Then for the summer season, the lining was out. And now all of a sudden, Shabbos gets cold. You want to put it in. It's mutter. Because we consider the zipper to be not considered the category of tofer whatsoever. This concept that I told you before, I want to quote, I haven't quoted any sources come out today for lack of time, but because this is a little bit controversial, I wanted to quote that this is so, that if you, the diapers that we have now are very loose, and it's meant to be taken on and off, it's like a button, there's no tear in the first place, is quoted from Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Vosner, Rav Nissen Karetz, three of the Gedolei Olam, much. So those who aser, I'm not sure if they disagree with the Metzias or disagree with the Halacha, but there are people who did aser. Full disclosure, but Yosha was Machmir the Shaila. We have to stop because we're out of time. So we somehow managed today, going express to Chazer, four malachas. Kosher, Matir, Tofer, Karet. We get it tomorrow. We'll try to cover the malacha of Mechate, which will be very brief. And then we'll discuss the Mitzvah, the malacha of Kosev. And we'll maybe try, if we can, to start a little bit about Tzoveya. If we can. We'll try. Okay, so tomorrow is Wednesday. Oh, let's review the schedule tomorrow. 7:35 Shachas and Reuben Shul. Who plans to come to my house? Raise your hand. You coming to my house tomorrow? Shia S. Amecha. Borah. S. Nahosefa. Ain. Venase. Ad.
Okay.
Shia S. Amecha. Borah. S. Nahosefa. Ain. Venase. Ad. That's what I have so far. Okay. Anyone's maybe so we will not hear it. So two cars is enough. Right? You fit five in your car? You fit five in your car. So even if one person comes who didn't subscribe, so we have, if more people come, either squeeze them in, I'll give you a head to put the next person in the back, or take a taxi. Okay, so tomorrow, estimated arrival time is by 9 o'clock in my house. A sumptuous breakfast will be served, that's what my wife tells me. And again, if you bring your instruments, bring your questions, bring your Vartara. All three. Good.
Bring my seat. And there are donuts for anybody interested.
Okay, please think. And after that, we'll come back here for a luncheon, which starts at 12. We may not be exactly on time, but we'll have enough time to eat at the end of our Tuesday Torah. Shir, I hope, will be at 1 o'clock sharp, I hope. If we get delayed tomorrow at the Shir, we have to make up for it on Thursday. So it's left. Any, with 10 minutes late tomorrow, we have to call 10 minutes early on Thursday. Budget.
I'm going for a 0.
That's funny. Yeah. 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 Yeah